It's the motherfucking Millennial Media Podcast.
This song brings back so many memories because when I lost my dad, it was really the only, felt like the only connection I had to the outside world. Because when you're dealing with grief, you just kind of, I can't say you, but I just kind of retreated into myself. And I find that that's what I do when I'm upset or hurt or just feel like the world has, you know, beaten me down. I kind of retreated into myself. I remember sinking into the couch getting home from the hospital and feeling like I never needed to breathe the same way ever again, that I was never going to, at least. And so yeah, this song, last night I took Molly to her dance class because that's what I do on Wednesdays, and we listened to this song together and we cried so much for her dad. Like, we just cried so much, and we were dancing in the parking lot to the song At Last by Etta James, because her dad loved that song and so did my dad. And so I didn't mean to start this off with all this sadness, but it was a really happy moment for us last night. And so I've been playing that song on repeat, I'll Be Missing You, and Etta James is At Last. So I just wanted to share that because I didn't really know how to start this podcast, because it's my first one by myself without Dion, shout out, my producer, here with me. And so I figured I would use a song because music is just my entry point into everything. And music just helps me be my most authentic self, which is what I want to talk about here today. So the magic of authenticity. When I think about authenticity, I think about what it means to me and what it means to me today versus what it meant to me maybe a year ago even. And it's really changed. So I believe that being authentic is, you know, it's an act of bravery. Being completely and totally who you are is an act of bravery. And my whole life I was told I was too much, too loud, too hyper, too extra. But what does authenticity really look like? How do we express our most authentic selves in a world that is constantly telling us who we are too blank? You can fill in the blank for whatever that means to you, because I'm sure you've been told you're too something, too sensitive, too emotional, to whatever it is that they tell us that we are, too cold, too hard. I've known people that that have been told that, and it's like, okay, well, it's not that I'm too hard, it's maybe that I just don't see a reason to give you my vulnerability. Maybe sometimes people don't feel safe with you, so when you feel like someone's too cold with you, maybe it's because they don't feel safe showing their vulnerability in your presence. Maybe you haven't earned it yet. And so that's why I think criticizing is really difficult sometimes for other people, because they don't get to explain why they were being like that. So yeah. But I had some notes, and first I want to say welcome back. Thank you so much for all of y'all who rated, reviewed, and subscribed to the podcast, because I was so nervous. Like, I was like, well, that wasn't really something that I was thinking about at first, but I was more nervous of like what I had said, because I felt like I was really vulnerable on the last podcast, which I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be vulnerable on all of them, because I just, like, the whole thing started, I'm trying to be myself, like, at all costs. And I hope that that is something that you can take with you from the podcast. Like, you know, when we let our own light shine, we give other people permission to do the same. And Marianne Williamson said that. And Marianne Williamson was a spiritual guru and somebody that my mom really looked up to when she was my age. And she passed on that mantra to me. You know, when you let your light shine, you give permission to other people to do the same. And I want this podcast to be a permission slip. Every time you listen to it, I want you to feel like Angie signed a permission slip for you to do whatever you needed to do to be whoever you are in the world and living as unapologetically as possible.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Copping out the bag of smoke today. 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 Copping out the bag of smoke today.
I got thoughts, can't control. Got me down, got me low. Rest my mind, rest my soul. When I blow, when I blow, am I wrong? Let me know, feel so right to let things go. Don't think twice, this is me.
So this song is this called is Friends, featuring Kill Edward by J. Cole.
I'm aggravated without it, my Saturdays are without it. My Saturdays are the loudest, I'm blowing strong. Some niggas graduated to powder, I dabble later, I doubt it. My database of narcotics is growing long. But I'm aggravated without it. My saddest days are without it. My saddest days are
so this is the song that I taught to this past weekend. This past Sunday, I had my Summer of Self number 2 all women writing workshop and snack party that I basically invented for myself because I needed a way to process the things that I was going through this summer with leaving my job and starting a business and with quitting my medication that I had been on for 12 years and just like the depression that came from quitting the medication and the weight gain that came from quitting the medication and the just incredible loss. Like, it just felt like a huge loss at first because going through detox of any drug is just brutal on the body, because once your body is addicted to something, you, I'm not sure if people really understand what that means, but it means you crave it. Like, you can't not have it. You can't function without it, basically. And so that is what I was handling and trying to go through at the time. And so I was just really struggling with figuring out who I was without that medication anymore and what I was capable of, and just the depression that comes with so much loss lately, just like with people in my life and you know, the job, and just like shedding a lot of like physical, spiritual, and like weight, you know, just shedding weight. And when I say weight, I mean just like heaviness in my life. And so I decided to put it together, this workshop, and I was just like, so after finishing the medication, my brain wasn't working for a while. Like, I couldn't really read and write. Like, I don't really know how to explain it, dude. It was really weird. But like, so my shit would like, bro, I don't even know how to explain this. My head would just wouldn't work. Like, somebody would ask me a question, it would take me so long to compute things. Like my face used to be like so dorky looking, like, wait, I don't understand the question. Like, I would have to ask people, like, even in the supermarket, I remember someone talking to me and I wouldn't understand what they're saying. And then just not just that, but that was just a funny example, but there's a lot of other examples where, like, I had an assistant who was working for me for a while, shout out Jasmine. She was helping me answer emails. Girl, she, man, shout out, because she was there for me when nobody else was. She really came into my life like a little Santa Maria, and fucking, like, she was just like, what do you need, girl? I got you. Like, let me help you out. And she saw that I was really struggling, and so she would come over every week and help me answer emails, because I couldn't even do this, like, the smallest things, like answer a question about a contract, or like, because I'm going on tour in Colorado and I need, like, around that time it was when I was like barely signing the contract and I couldn't read it. And it's like really embarrassing to go through that, because you also don't know how to tell people, like, oh, well, I can't read. So, like, it's because I can read. If I have to sit there and read something, I could read it, I know what it says. But it was like not comfortable, if that makes any sense, like thinking and like, so that's what I mean when I said I didn't know who I was without the medication anymore. But anyways, I went off on a tangent. But anyways, so this past Sunday, we had Summer of Self number 2. And I was really proud to say that I was able to plan the entire thing on my own with the help of my mom, who helped me, like, with the barbecue and stuff like that and setting up. And I was just really proud of myself, and the help of Chris, who, like, stopped and got some last-minute things for me. And I was just really proud of myself because that was something that I didn't think I could do, because I have been struggling with the reading and the writing thing, and just like the being organized and the getting out of bed, like down to that, it has been a struggle for me. But I managed to get it together, and I had like 20 women pay, but then the day of, only like 15 women were there. And so it actually worked out really well, because I like a smaller group. Like, I really do. I like smaller groups because then I can get to know people and talk a little bit longer about whatever it is that's going on with them, because the way I work is very intuitive. And so when people ask me for like lesson plans and shit, for like to go speak somewhere or go somewhere or like do a gig, I'm like, that's not how I, like, I have literally said no to jobs and teaching gigs and stuff because they asked me for a lesson plan, and I'm like, look, just trust me that I'm amazing, like, just let me go in there and do my thing, and then you can write about it later, like, can we do it like that? But that's not how, you know, typical education works. And so they need a plan, they need a lesson plan, and so where am I going with this? I always lose my train of thought. I love you, ADHD, it's amazing. But yeah, so Summer of Self was really dope because, so like I said earlier, my entry point into everything is music. And so what was happening was the first Summer of Self was basically based on the song by Kendrick Lamar, Fear. And this song is, man, like, this song is just so beautiful. And it's off the Damn album. And it just, like, you vibe with it. Like, you could smoke to this song and just, like, vibe. Like, you can meditate to the song. So that's what I found myself doing, is basically meditating to this song every day. And the reason is because there was a message that Kendrick was trying to give me. And this song is about fear. It's about all of the different ways he has encountered fear, experienced fear, how he dealt with it. And it first starts, it talks about his mom, you know? It talks about his mom and how he learned fear from her. Like, those Jordans better not be dirty if I just bought them. That piece of better be all eaten up. Like, there's like all these things where you learn to fear, you know? We learn to fear our parents because they're disciplining us, but that's our little world at the time. Like, so yeah, we know that they're not gonna kill us, but it's scary to us to have our parents mad at us, right? And so I was processing like my relationship with my mother and father, and because when you get off these medications, you wake up to the world. Feel me? Like, I don't know if you understand that, but you like wake up. I wasn't paying attention to my life for so long because I was trying to numb the pain of losing my father. That's the reality of the situation. And I figured that out all on my own. No therapist. And then I decided that I was going to heal myself. And so I called this summer the Summer of Self. And so the Summer of Self number one was a workshop based around this song. So my entry point into talking about this topic of fear was this song. And he sent me all these messages and all these vibes, and I was able to translate to these women in the workshop. And everyone agreed that it was a completely magical day, that they had never experienced anything like it, and that we had created magic there together. And I was just honored to be able to have, you know, kind of conducted that, because the magic that comes from a workshop is really like dependent on the specific individuals who are there at the time. Because I can't say the same thing to one person or give the same intuitive gift away to one person that I could give away to another for the same reason. Like, it's impossible. And so I vibe off them, and I just like feel their energy, and then I just kind of say or do whatever I feel moved to say or do, and it turns out to be the right thing. And I think the reason is because, you know, maybe being bipolar and being, you know, depressed and being closer to my own pain in a way that maybe someone else isn't, who hasn't experienced the same things as me, or would have what people think is, you know, a quote-unquote easy life, maybe they wouldn't be as in touch with their... Because a lot of people call it crazy, like when you see like brujeria, or like when you see somebody that's kind of like speaking in tongues, they'll say, because it's like that's not normal behavior, you know. So when people see that behavior that's not normal, they might tend to look at it as something weird or odd, not something to be trusted, you know. But other people look at it and see art, and those are the people that I'm creating for, those people. So if you see somebody doing what they were put on exactly on this earth to do, and you recognize that as beautiful and not scary and not weird, then I'm talking to you. And that's who I want to come to my workshop, because the only way magic can happen is if people first believe magic can happen. And so that's the reason why it always does at my workshops, because I think I'm starting to attract the people into my life that I'm ready to receive now that I have been doing the work of healing, like, you know, going to my spiritual energy cleanses and really, you know, committing to my own well-being and self-care and like mental health care and putting boundaries in my life with the people closest to me and honoring them and how that honors myself. And so yeah, that's what really I've been up to, is doing that workshop. So the last workshop that just happened was really dope, because I just felt like a different kind of energy. Well, I guess I'm going to it every one, but I just am amazed every time. It's just so beautiful and fun to hang out with these people who are here to just like celebrate themselves. Like, that's a different kind of shine, y'all. Like, when a bunch of people are in a room for no other reason than just to celebrate themselves and like to give themselves care, like, that's a whole different vibe, feel me? Like, you can't fake that. Like, you know how you can feel somebody's bad vibes? Excuse me. I don't know if I can sneeze on the podcast. Oh my god, I've been having so many summer allergies in my back. Okay. Wow, I really do have fun by myself. I wasn't lying on the last podcast. So yeah, it's a whole different type of glow. It's a whole different type of glow up when the people who are surrounding you are on the same type of spiritual journey that you are on. They might not be on the same, you know, part of the destination as you, or like, you know, they might not be on the same part of the journey as you, but they're on the same journey, and that's a really beautiful thing. Like, and the people that have left my life recently, I think they're just, maybe they were advanced in their spiritual journey. And, you know, I had a friend who walked out of my life, and she told me that my mental health was too much for her. And maybe at that time it was, you know, and maybe that's her boundary. She was putting up a boundary, but it was really hard for me. I took it really, really hard. When I lost that friend, I lost pretty much all my friends. Not because she was the only one, but it was like all around the same time. So I had a lot of loss recently, and that was really difficult for me. But I really think that the workshops have been helping me process that, because, you know, it's not just you. It's important to heal in the space of others, I think. There's a huge solo part of your journey to healing, but it's really great to like commune with other like-minded individuals, and I feel like that's what I've been able to do at these workshops. And so yeah, I'm excited about doing more, and I'm excited about the other fun things that I'm doing. I'm starting production classes for my public access TV show that is going to be produced by Pasadena Media, and I'm so grateful that I was there that day to meet with the CEO, George, and just for him to recognize that I have some good ideas, and, you know, and he thinks that I have an interesting perspective, and so I'm excited to get started with this journey and see where this takes me. They also have a podcast recording studio there, so maybe my podcast will, you know, sound a little better, because I'll actually be in a studio with, like, you know, soundproof walls and stuff. So yeah, I'm excited about just like elevating my hustle, and I'm excited about my merch that I'm doing. I'm excited about this event I'm going to tonight with Ana. Shout out, art by Ana Alvarado. She just designed the Spiritu box, and she sent me one, a press box, and it is so cute. There's a lot of cute stuff in there, but my favorite stuff is the Clinique skincare, which I have on right now. Hey. So shout out to Anna, and shout out to her for just meeting with me lately and just like really seeing my potential and helping me figure out how to make a sticker, and sitting there with me at Tierra Mia and just like never letting me pay for anything, number one. She know a bitch is broke out here. But also shout out to her for just like treating me like her little sister in kind of like community, and just really connecting with me and making me feel like I'm not alone, and that somebody does, you know, see my potential and wants to help guide me. Because, girl, I needed some guidance. I was like, I have all these ideas. I got the money to put in, but I just don't know how to make a sticker. Like, how do you get the design from the... It was just... I was really intermediate. I mean, wait, no. I was introductory. I was like... Yeah, anyways, I don't even... Still don't think that's the word. But I was struggling.
Look, they gave a bitch two options, stripping or lose. Used to dance in a club right across from my school. I said dance, nah, fuck, don't get it confused. Had to set the record straight cause bitches love to assume. Mama couldn't give it to me, had to get it in sous. Lord only knows how I got it in shoes. I was covered in dollars, now I'm dripping in jewels. A bitch played with my money, might as well spit in my food. Bitches hating my guts, now they swear it was cool. Went from making tuna sandwiches to making the news.
She said I went from making tuna sandwiches to making the news. I started speaking my mind and tripled my views, real bitch. Only thing fake is the boobs. Okay, exactly. Thank you, Cardi, for leading me into my next train of thought, because this entire thing is about authenticity. And in that song, which is Get Up 10 by Cardi B off the Invasion of Privacy album, which is the most lyrically beast, savage, like all the adjectives that are kind of problematic for people of color, but like all of the, you know, the fucking shit that people say about this is a fire ass track, like that's a fire ass track. And she was completely 100% herself in the lyrics, in the delivery, and in the beat, fam. Like the beat, like I almost just became a rapper after that. Like I was like, I need to rap on this.
Call a fucking waist trainer. You gon' run up on who and to what? I think y'all got your story screwed up. I came here to ball, is you nuts? I don't want your punk ass man, I'm too tough. I'm the one that's killing shit, hands down. If you got a problem with me, say it now. Cause I don't wanna hear no sneak dissing. Especially not from one you weak bitches. I'm on go like I don't see no stoplights. I'm stepping out every day, prom night. So if it's all love, show me love then. Cause you ain't on the bitches, what it sound like. Beat, mo, it's how I give it up, nigga. Hoodie, low, it's how I'm pulling up. Just cause I've been on the road, don't mean I've been on the run. And you gon' have to learn to hold your tongue or hold the gun. And we all know you ain't that type. I smack you in the bitch that you act like. I started getting money, bitches upset. They remind me of my pussy, bitches mad tight. Nails done, hair leg, keeping both laced. Come through shining with them rolly bust face. Headshot, headshot, tell them close case. And no bitch spitting like this in so way. I don't trust no nigga, I don't fear no bitch. Whole life been through some fucked up shit. They say I'm too that, oh, I'm too this. When you see what I see, you end up like this. I walked into the label with a check at. Cardi B on the charts and expect that. Where that bitch that was claiming she a threat? I'ma put a Louis Vuitton with her neck at. They say I'm too ratchet, they say I act wild. I'm trying to with the phone like a badass child.
So basically, the moral of the song is, they knock you down 9 times, but you get up 10. But I get up 10. Look myself in the mirror, I said we gon' win. And me down 9 times, but I get up 10. Look myself in the mirror, I said we gon' win. And me down 9 times, but I get up 10. Yeah. But I get up 10. And me down 9 times, but I get up 10. Bitch. If you would like to support this podcast, you can rate it, review it, or subscribe. And to keep up with me daily, follow me on Instagram at Millennial Miha. If you feel moved to pay it forward, you can always hit my Venmo at Millennial Miha. And for bookings, visit me at, yes, you guessed it, millennialmiha.com. It's called branding, honey. You need consistency.